escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Very happy to have you with us this evening on this, oh, so chilly. Hey, it's not triple digits, so that makes it chilly. Balmy July evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thank you for joining us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can call or text at, for some reason, I just haven't had enough coffee tonight. You can call or text the studio line 316. I've been filling in Kansas City, Phil, so I keep having the Kansas City studio line 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com. It's what happens when you fill in Kansas City. I had the KCMO number pop up into my head.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say it.
Yeah, well, I caught myself because that 913 number popped up in my head, and I'm like, 913, nope, wrong number. You can email me at john@knssradio.com, and you can find and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Couple of items to remind you about. Sedgwick County Republican Party is having our evening with the right governors. It's a get-out-to-vote fundraiser coming up on August 9th. With former Governor Sam Brownback and former Governor Jeff Collier, who is the state director for the Trump campaign. It's a great event. You can get more information at the Sedgwick County Republican Party website and on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And we also have a major announcement. The show just landed a new sponsor, Eck Insurance. My buddy John Eck has just signed on as a new sponsor for the John Whitmer Show. It's a special sponsorship. We're going on the road. So one Sunday a month, starting in January, we will be broadcasting live from Topeka. We will be broadcasting one night, one Sunday night a month. We will bring you live coverage from the legislature. We'll broadcast live from Topeka and bring you guests, live guests. I'll try and time it when there's important things, like, for example, when they begin their session, we'll be in Topeka. When they've got major votes, we'll be in Topeka. Right before the governor's State of the State address, we'll be in Topeka. All sponsored by John Eck at Eck Insurance. Thank you to my good friend John Eck. He just signed with us, so we've got a new sponsor. We'll take the John Whitmer Show on the road to Topeka starting at the first of the year. So look forward to that. In the meantime, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. Former assistant to President Trump, Peter Navarro, will be with us, fresh from his, from his exit from prison for failing to comply with the bogus January 6th committee and his appearance at a Republican National Convention. We'll talk with Derek Schmidt, who is joining us to talk about his campaign for Congress in the 2nd District. Daniel Greenfield will be with us to explore America's two-tier justice system, where two soldiers were recently arrested on charges of stealing pride flags, but Hamas protesters were not arrested after defacing national monuments last week. We'll continue our candidate profiles with conversations with Debbie Potter, who's a candidate for State Board of Education, and Steve Hubert, Republican candidate for House District 90. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So for the last couple of weeks, I've kept my powder dry. And frankly, I've kept it dry long enough. We've had other things to talk about during our first segment, and I'm tired of holding back. So let's talk taxes. After months of committees and taxpayer-funded consultants, some of our local elected officials have finally come up with a bait-and-switch plan to lower property taxes, which means raise sales taxes. That's their plan. They want to lower property taxes, quote unquote, by raising sales taxes. Also, they can spend more money. And the claim is that they will lower property taxes, lower sales tax, or raise the sales tax to lower property taxes. But we've seen this sales pitch before. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The core here is, do you trust the people who are putting this forward and the rest of their colleagues, and that's the key, in order to actually deliver on the cuts? And although we can trust commissioners like Ryan Beatty and Jim Howell, and at the city council, where they're trying this same flim-flam, we could trust council member Dalton Glasscock, and we could trust Mayor Lily Wu. But does anyone trust that tax and spend David Dennis will actually keep his word? Does anyone trust that Brandon Johnson or some of the other Democrats on the city council will keep their word and lower property taxes once they've collected all those new sales taxes? At the city council, Brandon Johnson's already advocating to raise the mill levy. Ballard and Hoheisel will no doubt go right along with him, in which case all it would take would be one squishy Republican to, well, hey, look at that. We got new money. Maybe we should spend it. And down the street, the county commissioners are fiddling away around the fringes while the county's budget burns. And other than Howell, Beatty, Glasscock, and Wu, I've not heard sincere discussions from too many others about the real solution, which is cutting spending. That's what has to happen. Make no mistake, this is more than just a nuisance. These proposals are an all-out assault on the wallets of hardworking citizens, especially those already struggling to make ends meet. My wife and I were out door knocking again this week and talked to yet another retired Wichita homeowner who is terrified of losing their home after reading in the Wichita Eagle that the city and county are once again considering capturing all of the excess revenue and not maintaining the revenue neutral rate. It's important to recognize that these taxes aren't just an abstract number. They impact real people. And I'm talking about the poor and those on fixed incomes. And some people will say, well, it doesn't affect the poor because they don't own homes. No, but they pay rent. And the landlords will raise their rent. As Ronald Reagan said, the problem is not that the people are taxed too little. The problem is that government spends too much. This quote should be plastered on the walls of every city and county government office, because these tax increases are a blatant signal that our elected officials have failed to control their spending and have instead chosen to reach deeper into our pockets. And even if they pass this sales tax to lower property tax plan, can we trust some of them to actually do it? Some of these folks are the same ones who told us we only needed 3 weeks to flatten the curve before they closed our businesses and implemented a citywide snitch line and mask mandates. Do you trust them to actually lower your property taxes once the sales tax revenues start flowing in? Or will they all of a sudden find new and quote-unquote essential or urgent needs for that money? Will someone decide, hey, we need a railway to Texas? Or will somebody all of a sudden decide we have essential core funding that includes, more cultural arts funding? Will all of a sudden they find new essential ways to spend that money instead of lowering your property taxes? Let me be clear, I'm not talking about all our city and county leaders. But the truly fiscal conservative ones who I trust are sadly in the minority. Jim Howell, for example, has been fighting at fiscal windmills so long he's now officially on the windmill payroll as their full-time antagonist. But he's alone. Here's a stark truth. Our local governments are treating the tax base like an unlimited ATM. Instead of tightening their belts and making the hard choices required to live within their means, they're opting to squeeze more out of taxpayers. This is a direct failure in fiscal responsibility. Barry Goldwater said, a government that is big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you have. And isn't that exactly what's happening here? These elected officials should be focusing on cutting spending, not finding new ways to take our hard-earned money. We need fiscal discipline, not fiscal abuse. There are numerous ways to streamline government operations, eliminate waste, and improve efficiency without restoring to higher taxes. It's high time we seriously audit government programs and get rid of those that aren't underperforming or redundant. Let's prioritize essential services and cut the fat. Perhaps it's time we prioritize core services and let arts and culture events and venues fund themselves through grants, fundraisers, user fees, and endowments instead of through the property taxes of county retirees. And if our leaders are truly concerned about the impact on the community, they should be looking at how they can enhance service delivery through innovative means rather than defaulting to the tax and spend approach. Fiscal responsibility isn't about making life more difficult for the average citizen. It's about managing the public purse in a way that respects the financial limits of its contributors. So let's make our voices heard. We need leaders who are committed to finding real solutions, not those who think the answer to budget shortfalls is to squeeze more from taxpayers. Reach out to your local representatives. Let them know that enough is enough. Demand fiscal discipline, efficiency, and a genuine commitment to managing public resources without putting additional burdens on the very people who make the community thrive. It's not just about standing up for ourselves. It's about standing up for those who cannot. It's about ensuring that our government is working for us, not against us. So stay vigilant, stay informed, and keep fighting for your right to keep more of what you earn. We'll take a quick break, and then Steve Hubert, Republican candidate for House District 90, will be with us. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country to join together and phone into key federal races across the U.S. Each week presents a new opportunity to join thousands of dedicated citizens committed to being the most impactful grassroots army in America. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central Time to phone for freedom. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and Truth Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, as you know, every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for office as we can. We've only got couple shows left tonight and next week before the primary. We're going to bring you as many candidates as we can. That being said, joining us now is Steve Hubert. Steve served in the House for 22 years, has stepped into a race now that incumbent Representative Carl Maughan has chosen not to run for reelection. He once chaired the House Education Committee, which basically means he's got, you know, Teflon skin and wore body armor to hearings. He's running again for the seat he held from 2001 to 2023. Steve, thank you for joining us this evening. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, you took some slings and arrows. I forgot that you held that you chaired education. That KNEA must love you.
Well, we disagree about a few things.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. So, okay, you got out, you escaped. You're like the Godfather, dude. You're like Michael Corleone. I got out, and then they pulled me back in. So why? Why would you? Trust me, I know what it's like. I keep, like, toying with it and then, you know, getting in. Why would you even want to go back up there?
Well, I was enjoying retirement.
I'll bet.
You know, and when I was first asked, I initially said no. But then I said, I can relate. I would pray about it. And again, Carl's my friend. And I just told him I wouldn't run unless he asked me to. He finally, before the filing deadline, asked me to. And so I went up to Topeka and filed. And, you know, I'm ready to go back. A couple year sabbatical. You know, my slogan is now refire, not retire. And I'm working hard to go back. And again, property taxes, you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the biggest issue we hear at the doors.
That's. And that's going to be job number one. I've spoken with House leadership, and I've spoken to senators. There's going to be a bill to the governor, I think, within 3 weeks. The question is, what's it going to look like? And that's going to be determined by what happens in these primaries and what happens in November. If we don't elect supermajorities in both chambers, the governor is going to be able to control what happens.
Oh, yes,
we won't
right.
be able to write her veto.
Yeah, because she's going to veto it. She's already proven she doesn't care for real property, real tax reform of any kind.
Yeah, that's why this election is so important. There's not a lot of primaries. I have one. And but in November, we have to really get the message out that supermajorities are a must, and that's going to be challenging. This election cycle is going to be very challenging, and we need to increase voter turnout. I believe Trump on the top of the ballot is going to make turnout go way up.
That'll help for sure. You mentioned you've got a primary. Some of your voters may be a little confused when they go to vote, when they go to the ballot box, because you know, Carl, for example, has dropped out, but he didn't drop out in time to have his name removed from the ballot. From what I understand from some of the folks that I've talked to, you know, my daughter and her family live in your district. There are some of the candidates that may still also be on the ballot, but are supporting you. You have one true primary opponent who's actually running. So how many are on the ballot? How many are supporting you? I mean, it's kind of confusing.
There is four on the ballot, but, Darren Pugh, he and I discussed a lot of issues. We recognized we're on the same page, and he decided that he did not want to
split. So Darren Pugh is basically on the ballot but not running, supporting you.
He is.
And Carl Maughan, also on the ballot, not running, supporting you.
He, I just saw him at the meeting with Roger Marshall.
Yeah, I saw him there too.
And, he's a good guy, and, he is doing the things he needs to do to get his life back.
Yeah, and Carl, it's unfortunate what the personal situations that he went through, and I'm glad to see him stepping back to deal with the personal stuff. And I'm glad that we have an opportunity to let the voters know that at least there's really only two people in the race, so that they're at least not confused. Let me ask you about some of the things that came up this last session. The legislature recently ended the special session passing tax reform. There were only two members of the House that actually voted against the tax bill. Sadly, one of them was mine. What was your take on the tax bill? Would you have voted yes for that tax bill?
Well, of course I would have. The thing that got the short end of the stick was property taxes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it could have been better income tax relief, too. Again, if it wasn't for Laura Kelly, but yeah.
Yeah, and I would have. And again, there was a lot of good bills that got sent to the governor and vetoed.
Right, yeah.
And she forced the special session, I believe, for political reasons.
Yep.
And, that's unfortunate. You know, the bill that was passed, provided good tax relief in a lot of different areas. But again, the one area that I think everybody knows going back for the 2025 session is property taxes need to be addressed. There's money available to make significant property tax relief available to our constituents.
We're talking with Steve Hubert, Republican candidate for House District 90. The other bill that they really pushed in the special session was the Star Bond bill. What are your thoughts on that and other incentive programs like the Panasonic, the Apex bill?
Well, the Panasonic bill, I think, is not going to deliver the economic development that was promised. I think we already see that the future for those batteries is not going to have the long-term future that a lot of people rejected even when we were talking about that bill. But that being said, there will be, I think I've heard, up to 3,000 to 4,000 jobs created. The amount of money that was
hopefully
the amount of money that was spent to get that plant in Kansas could have been spent in a lot of better ways to develop real economic growth and jobs in Kansas across the state.
Social issues have always been an issue. I know I don't have to ask you about pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. You're solid on those. I don't even need your opinions because I can testify to those because you and I served together.
I am endorsed by those organizations because I have a track record.
Yep, you're endorsed by KFL. You're endorsed by the KSRA. And I think you're also solid on issues like protection from women's and girls sports.
Yes.
I'm pretty solid. I know where you are on that. Medical marijuana is going to come up again. What are your thoughts on that?
I know that there's been compromises floated, and I always hear from my friends in the police services that just there's valid reasons to be very skeptical. And, I just right now I'm not ready to support those. I believe that I will, look at whatever comes up. But again, I don't think we end up with a real medical marijuana compromise that would deliver the results that some people say that would deliver, and it would just open the door for things getting worse in Kansas, like it's happened in other states that do have more than just medical marijuana. They have, you know, legal marijuana in states surrounding us.
You and I both know that nothing ever dies in Topeka. It just sort of lingers around until somebody, you know, resuscitates it. One thing that Laura Kelly has been pushing for, well, now going on 7 years, is Medicaid expansion. I guarantee you it's going to come up again. She's going to, you know, keep, this is her big pet project she's been pushing and will continue to push. Your thoughts on Medicaid expansion?
You know, I have voted against that in the past. And the reality is, even without expanding, the amount of money that we're spending for Medicare expenditures goes up and up and up every year. So it's like we're expanding it every year. They want to expand it in ways where they say that it's going to bring in free money from D.C. And there's no such thing. You know, the budget that we have right now continues to grow in ways that we have to control our spending. And all that bill would do would increase spending at rates far greater than what they're already growing right now.
Control spending. Gee, where have I heard that before?
Yeah, it's
a novel. Normal concept.
Well, it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm a fiscal conservative, and my wife will tell you that's not just a campaign slogan.
No, I remember. Trust me, I know. Steve, if we're up on my bottom of the hour break, but if folks want more information, if they want to reach out to you to connect with you, get a yard sign, or more importantly, if they want to donate to the campaign and support you, what's the best way for them to reach out?
You know, you can call me. 253-6558.
Brave man.
I will answer your phone calls and I'll talk to you. I enjoy talking with my constituents, and I've been out knocking on doors and meeting them. And, you know, I'll get you a yard sign too if you want it.
That there, folks, is a brave candidate. One more time, give them the number in case they didn't get it.
253-6558.
Steve, I appreciate you. Best of luck in the new reelection. The new reelect of the old campaign recession. How was your phrase again?
Fire, not retire.
Fire, not retire. I wish you the best of luck, my friend. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll continue our candidate profiles with a conversation with Debbie Potter, Republican candidate for State Board of Education District 10. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Hopefully you already listened to KNSS on your way to work, but have you tried listening before you head out to work? With the free Odyssey app, you can simply download Odyssey, that's Audacy, and search for KNSS. To get all your news, weather, and traffic updates, whether you need them, whenever you need them. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Joining us now is Debbie Potter. She's a Republican candidate for State Board of Education District 10. Debbie is a mother of 8, a grandmother of 19, and a career United States Air Force wife. When it came to the education of her children, Debbie was a hands-on mom as the USAF moved her husband. She engaged in the local school systems in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Ohio to provide stability during the frequent Air Force moves. She homeschooled her children. She developed her own curriculum and taught at all levels, elementary through senior high. Debbie, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, John. Hi, Phil. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. And I'll ask you the same question I just asked Steve. It's typically my first question. It's always the easy one, which is why, with 19 grandkids, you obviously have plenty of of grandkids to go spend time with. Why would you want to, especially a thankless job like Board of Education?
Well, we all want the schools to be a safe place for all our kids. And I've got, I'm trying to remember of my grandkids. I would say just under half of them are in the public school. So or will probably be in the public school.
Yeah, as are mine.
Yeah. And so we all care. We all care about the options parents have, that they have the support of their community, and that they have good options, that they have choices to make. And Michelle Dombrowski's been beating me over the head for about a year to convince me we do have school choice in Kansas. And that's an important thing I actually have learned. I've been attending the meetings for about 3 years.
I wish we had true school choice in Kansas. We don't, but I mean, in other words, the money follows the kid. I wish we had
We don't have all those options in
right.
the public school.
We
need to grow it.
We could, but yeah. we need a different governor for that.
We need to fight for it.
I would imagine that your experience has given you a rather unique perspective regarding empowering parents and curriculum for that matter as well. I mean, you must have seen having kids and, you know, grandkids in both the public and then, you know, homeschooling and private schooling, it's got to give you a unique perspective on the contrasts between public schools and private and home schools.
Well, and I've also substitute taught in the public school for 3 years.
Well, then you definitely know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have had some conversations. I think the biggest part of, schooling children is picking the right curriculum and having choices for parents to have the curriculums they would prefer for their children. And that goes down the line of the school choices. If, you know, you can't have a different curriculum book in for every kid in every school, you know. So the more choices of schools you have, the more choices you have to choose curriculums that match what your family cares about.
The problem is the unions, both of them, the teachers union and, I mean, I don't call it, the Kansas Association of School Boards isn't a union, but it might as well be. Neither of them want that. They don't want that kind of choice for parents. They want it to be a cookie-cutter system that they can control. Because choice empowers parents, whereas a lack of choice empowers bureaucracy. And that's what they don't like. And let me ask you, and we're talking with Debbie Potter, Republican candidate for State Board of Education, District 10. Having served in the legislature, I've seen firsthand the way this system works. And I think it's only a matter of time before they sue the state for more taxpayer money. Do you think our public education system is adequately funded now? Do you think they need more money, or is it just a matter of how they're appropriating and funding their schools?
I tell you, what I learned is that Kansas runs a budget of about $25 billion, and the Kansas schools have $8 billion. So if the whole state of Kansas can run on $25 billion, surely the schools can run on $8.
Do you think, I mean, right now, it just seems to me like they're top-heavy, that the bureaucracy is getting is where the spending is, rather than getting into the teachers.
Absolutely. You got teachers. Teachers are having to buy kids, you know, supplies.
Back to school supplies, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
And the kids are, for a free public education, it's kind of expensive to publicly educate your children in Kansas. I was always, had to be, with as many kids as I had, got to count here. Four of my kids graduated from public school, and three of my kids graduated from home school. And then we lost our eighth and child. And so I was always shocked at how much it cost me to enroll my kids in public school. And I know that others have had that experience too.
Let me ask you a little bit about some of the directions that some of the public schools have gone with the non-education patterns. Things like, you know, protection for women's and girls' sports. I mean, the legislatures had to force these things because so many of the school districts wouldn't do it. I mean, it started with the bathroom issues. And there were districts, even Derby, for example, was allowing boys and girls bathrooms. So the legislature had to step in. Then there were districts that were allowing girls, you know, boys to play on girls' sports. So the legislature had to step in. Now the issue has become districts that are allowing, the schools are literally saying that, you know, a child who wants to gender transition is allowed to do it, and the schools are not informing the parents. And the legislature tried to pass the law, the governor vetoed it, and they couldn't override the governor. So right now, schools are allowed to do this. Do you think schools should be allowed to do that?
Well, actually, I'd say we already have laws. It's against the law.
Well, theoretically, but right now, in Kansas.
I was talking to somebody earlier, and I had written it down earlier, 72-6315. You're not allowed to collect this kind of data on the children. This really, I don't understand the school's need to get in between children and their medical care and their parents. I just don't understand it. It's just, we don't even teach them to read properly. If we could, if the schools could do everything else like they should, educate the children, then maybe, and they were just so good at it, maybe then they would have a leg to stand on to say that they would just have something to tell the parents. But they really don't. They need to do the job they've got to do. Teach the kids to read. Teach the kids to do math. Teach the kids science and history, and leave their medical care to their parents. Again, if they can have choices of schools, maybe some parents want the schools to raise their children for them. You know, I wouldn't want to put my child in that school, but it all goes with the school choice.
I'm glad to hear you say the focus where it needs to be, because I cannot tell you how many times I've had Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute on discussing student achievements, and in particularly college and career readiness. Mm-hmm. And our performance statewide in certain of the, especially certain districts in Kansas, are abysmal. And when you're, and yet schools, a lot of schools talk about graduation rates and they tout their graduation rates. It doesn't matter if you're graduating these kids if they're not college and career ready. If you're graduating a kid, but they can't do basic math, they can't read at a college level, then they shouldn't be graduating them.
Amen. That's all I know to say to that. No, I know of two real estate rental people that had to teach the two high school graduates how to sign their name on a lease. How do we call that a high school graduate? So it cheapens it for the high school graduates who actually did the work.
So what can the Board of Education do to fix that? Is that a matter of raising the standards? Is that how they fix that? Or just holding schools to the standards that are in the place?
Well, I think if you just hold people to the standard, if you hold people to the laws that are already on the books, I mean, there's just so many, you know, what ifs that way. But, it goes a little deeper in my mind than that, because I do think that maybe we should explore some other ideas in education, that maybe some kids only really need and or want what used to be like a 6th-8th grade education. They have no desire to be college preparatory. They're burned out. They don't want to. And they really pull down all the kids who are anxious to have a college preparatory education. But then at least they can attain something and own it. And it's real. And they did it. And they're not, that's just a thought I'm formulating in my mind. It's not a stance. It's not anything I feel strongly about.
But you're right, then. You've got something there. I mean, I've always advocated for kids that want to get a high school diploma and then go on and get technical education or get, you know, certified in HVAC or something. You can have a hell of a life and make a great career and make good money as an electrician, as an apprentice. I mean, you make really good money as a blue collar job. And I think so many people look down on blue collar. We need more blue collar workers. We need more HVAC electricians, and we need to stop. Look, if somebody isn't college able or interested, don't force it. Especially because nowadays the attitude is, we'll put them to college and then we have to pay for their college. Well, maybe they don't want to go to college.
Well, and you set them up to fail
exactly.
Because they're not going to meet that goal. And then on the same hand, while you're setting them up to fail, you're taking away from the children any opportunity to actually fail. No, we need to let children actually fail sometimes.
Well, that's a good point.
Because they don't grow. They don't actually, you know, disciplining your kids, they're not disciplined if you never enforce a boundary.
Right. If you coddle. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the losing election was one of the best lessons that I ever learned.
Yes.
I will be, the next time I run for office, I will be a better candidate. And if I, should I win, I will be a better representative for having lost an election, because you learn. Hell, Abraham Lincoln lost what, 8 times before he finally won? You learn a lot through loss.
I filed in December. I guess that's a big no-no.
Ah, well, it doesn't matter. I know I've got to run. I know your opponent is endorsed by the KNEA. Frankly, I view that sort of like a Wichita Eagle endorsement. Say, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I won't let, unless you want to take a swing at that, I will just tell you, if anybody's endorsed by the KNEA, that's somebody I'm not going to vote for, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm already a winner. I was endorsed by Kansans for Life, and I volunteered with them, and I cannot even tell them thank you enough for their endorsement, and I'm very happy with the endorsement I have.
Yeah, well, like I said, if I were endorsed by the KNEA, that would be a death knell for me. So, Debbie, if folks are interested, if they want to help you, they want more information, they want a yard sign. By the way, we have your yard sign in our yard. The website is potterforparents.org, and that's the number 4, correct?
It is. And can I add to that?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm the primary is probably going to be my big part of my election. In order to effectively affect the State Board of Education, we really, really need to put the support behind the candidates that are going to have a little bit harder run in the general election now.
Oh, we'll do it. Trust me.
And,
once we get through the primary.
And so Nancy Moneymaker and Fred Postlewaite, they have been talking to me already. We're trying to problem solve. I've been going to the board meetings over these last 3 years. Already preparing for this because I thought I'd run unopposed.
Well, when we get to the general, we'll definitely have them on. Debbie, I want to thank you again. It's potterforparents.org.
Yes.
I wish you the best of luck. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This segment of the John Whitmer Show is sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And when you need to stay informed with the free Odyssey app, you can do so at any time. It's very convenient. Get the best breaking local news coverage from KNSS on the go. Just download Odyssey today, search KNSS to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
You had your chance. Yes, a chance to elect capable individuals as governor and lieutenant governor, state senators and reps. Some folded their tails between their legs. 10 counties decided for the other 95, Kansans' future, or lack thereof. Let's review. Governor Kelly vetoed 75 tax cuts. The latest opportunity to provide what Kansans deserve cost taxpayers $84,000 in a special session. Result? Failure once again. A watered-down tax plan. If your electeds can't balance their own checkbooks, how do we expect them to calculate a real tax cut? Topeka is no different than D.C. Stop electing the same individuals that are nothing but talking heads on a good day. The people's checkbook, your checkbook, has a $4 billion reserve balance. Let's clean out the rhinos and any others that voted against our future. The electeds couldn't override the governor's veto. They don't seem to support the people of Kansas. It is our duty to make corrections at the ballot box as soon as possible.
Wow, he's absolutely right. Don't forget the Sedgwick County Republican Patriot Night. Get out to vote fundraiser August 9th. Ray, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Yes, thank you. I've been wanting to get this out since I bought the Wichita Eagle over the weekend.
That was your first mistake.
I know, but it teased us with... we've got opinions from the people running for the House of Reps or something.
Ah.
So I haven't paid any money for their paper in years, so I thought I was doing all right. But Dion Leffler, the editorial clown.
I know Dion.
Okay, Dion. His headline on the page is, "If Secret Service shot first, crooks would be a martyr because it would be young Trump supporter shot dead by feds outside rally."
Yeah, his argument was that because of the way Ashley Babbitt was treated on the January 6th, the difference is Ashley Babbitt was just participating. Now, granted, she did participate in, she was in the building, But she didn't go there with a gun. She wasn't climbing on the roof with an AR getting ready to shoot.
That's exactly right.
Right. But this is Dion Loeffler, and I've known Dion for years. Dion is pretty left of center, and that's being generous. So,
yeah. Well, you know, no matter what, the guy had a gun, had a rifle, and it was pointing it at the president.
Yep.
Shoot the guy and ask later.
Yep. You're exactly right, Ray. You're exactly right. I appreciate the call, brother. We'll take a quick break. And then coming up after the top of the hour break, former assistant to President Trump, Peter Navarro, will join us fresh from his appearance at the Republican National Convention to explore the future of President Trump's campaign. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.